Grow My Cleaning Company teaches owners of cleaning companies just like you how to grow your company, make more money, and finally take charge of your financial future and your life. This podcast is about automating and creating systems that give you time and money freedom so you can grow like crazy without losing control. Since this is totally free, if you're getting tons of value, want to support us and make sure that you get more of the good stuff, subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast today. Now, on to the show.
Hey, Cleaning Nation, welcome back. This is part two of our fantastic podcast, or actually Facebook Live, that we did with our alumni group. If you missed part one, go back and listen to part one. And if you are new and you don't want to listen to part one, that's okay. Just bear with us because we did cut out some of the Q&As with our alumni members. So it might seem a little choppy, but other than that, let's get started.
All right. So let's talk about growing your business. As you guys know, a lot of the biggest mistakes people make is they look at the wrong people. We spend so much time on Yelp and Facebook and where can I get some new clients and how can I get strangers that don't know, like, and trust me and turn them into clients, which is fine, but that's the low end of the funnel. We want to start at the high end. Who are your current customers, right? Your current customers, as long as you're doing a good job, are going to be your best customers. If I wanted to sell something now, I would sell it to my people I have now. I'd be like, what other pain can I solve? You're already paying me money to solve this pain. What if you paid me money to solve another pain? That's exactly what you can do. So for residential, it could be windows, carpets, gutters, pet hair, pet poop, laundry, organizing a closet, doing some sort of microwave, fridge, stove situation, annualized floor work, upholstery, carpets, replace filters, light bulbs, window washing, pressure washing, upholstery, light painting, exterminating services. There's so many different problems. I'm guessing most of your owners of homes, if you got the right clients, spend $1,000 a month maintaining their house. So maybe your part is only $300 or $400. Why not get more, right? And then for commercial, same thing, you know, annualize the carpets and the floor works. Like I talked about, the light bulbs and the filters, the pressure washing, light painting, anything that makes them crazy that they need over and over again is a great add-on. And those are you guys that do that. Like, that's my favorite kind of play when people come in and they don't do janitorial or maid service. Like, I just do pressure washing, or I just do grout cleaning, to get them to take on the recurring clients. Oh, awesome. So the user that already have recurring clients, those add-on services, even if they're one time or quarterly, can be a great way to add. So first and foremost, find problems and pains that your current customers have that they want solved, and solve them for them, right? They're either paying someone else they don't trust and like as you, or they're not paying anyone because no one will solve it. You can make their life better and make more money. Second, once you've got your current customers taken care of, previous customers are the next best. And the reason we probably, well, I don't know why we forget current customers. I think, I don't know. It's not as sexy to take a current customer who's doing $1,000 worth of work and turn them into $2,000 worth of work as getting a new $1,000 client. But it's actually more profitable because there's no onboarding cost. You already know, like, and trust them. It's actually a much better gig, although we don't get the emotional hit for new clients. Previous clients, we get this weird, like, they're mad, they hate us, but, like, all of you guys are my previous clients, right? Do I think you hate me? God, I hope not. And here I am being like, hey, we are here. We want to help. If any of you guys want to be part of the 12 that I'm going to walk through this over a 2-day period, let's go. Let's talk. So don't be afraid that they're going to be mad. I mean, maybe they are. And if they are, they're either mad because you're screwed up, in which case, make it right. Or they're mad because they're pains in the ass, in which case, I'm not talking about them. So that's like 4% of the clients, probably not. If you do a good job, which obviously I believe you all do, 90%+ of your people are going to be like, oh yeah, I love that. Just like Suzanne's like, who misses Mike? You're like, some of you are going, I miss that guy. I miss that community. What's going on? Right? Like, so don't be afraid to go back because of your own kind of weird head trash. The biggest part of making a decision is uncertainty, right? And if they've already dealt with you and they had a good experience, even if their brother took over or they moved or whatever weird thing, the same thing that they needed you for a minute and then for whatever time it just didn't work anymore, their situation may have changed. They needed you again, but they feel embarrassed or they forget about it. You come back like, oh yeah, I love Heather Wolford. She's amazing. I want her back. So previous customers are great. After that would be referrals, then previous bids, then previous leads, then perfect prospects, then strangers. So make sure you start and spend 80% of your time current customers, previous customers, referrals, and then the leftover would be previous bids, previous leads, perfect prospects, strangers, right? But we kind of reverse it and spend most of the time with the people that we know the least. Okay, once you've identified kind of who your perfect prospect is and you start at the top when it comes to current customers, work your way down to strangers, there's two ways to go. You've got organic traffic, you got paid traffic. Paid is good because it's so much more scalable. And you can turn it on right now. You can start getting results immediately. But when you stop paying for it, the results stop pretty quick. Okay, so when it comes to paid traffic, it's much more scalable than just about anything else. And I think a lot of people kind of go away from it because it costs money. But man, I think that's another mindset thing we talked about right at the beginning, is we have a belief that money's worth more than our time. And it's quite the opposite, right? Certainly when you start having money, all of us are poorer now than last time we spoke when it comes to time. Most of us are probably richer when it comes to money. So don't value money, value time, or I shouldn't say don't value money, but don't value money over time. So paid traffic, if I can pay some money for someone else's time, Facebook's like, we've got tens of millions of man hours assembling this audience of people, and we know what they like and don't like, and we will sell you some of their attention. Man, that just seems like such a good deal, as opposed to you going, all right, get out there and find people that know, that want what you want, and get their attention, and I'm going to leverage Facebook's time for $1 a click or $5 a click or whatever they're charging every time. So don't be afraid of paid traffic just because it's expensive. What's really expensive is being stuck in your business. So you certainly don't want to waste money with paid traffic, but you don't want to be afraid of it. And again, at the event, we'll definitely something we'll dive into. When it comes to organic, organic's great. That's what I'm doing right now. This is my time. Luckily, I love you guys, especially when it comes to the alumni stuff. It's a lot more fun. But there's only so much scale we can do with organic. So the trick with organic is leverage, right? If you can do one good 20-minute piece of content like this, I don't know how long we're going to go. We've already been going a half hour, so more than a half hour. If you could just create one good piece of content a week, you can turn... And I'm a talker, so for me to be a podcast. Some of you might be like, I would not want to be in front of a microphone. That makes me really uncomfortable. Write it down. Some of you are like, you know what? I'm more visual. I see things. Then you could be a YouTube person. And the beautiful thing is, guess what I'm going to do with the talking? We're going to turn it into text, and just I think we use Otter AI, can literally transcribe. There's 1,000 things that'll just transcribe text into type, right? So you can just speak it, and boom, it becomes letters. Or becomes words. And if you have words down, you can pay someone else to read it. Or maybe if you're scared to go read it, to talk extemporaneously, but you're not afraid to read, you could literally write it down and then just read it out loud. And then you could just throw a video behind it if you want that. So there's lots and lots of opportunities for that. So if you can just create one good piece of content per week that's like 20 minutes, you can turn audio like this into text. You can turn any of it into a video just by putting it, you can do a meme, you can read it like this is actually a video. Like, you can just very easy, once you've got content, to turn words into video, video into audio, audio into words, and round we go. So if you just take one piece of content, 5, 10, 20 minutes a week, you can get 5 pieces out of it. Like, we will have Natalie or somebody on the team go through and pick out 4, 5, 10, 15 people. So you can take one long form piece of content like this and literally turn it into a dozen little snippets, whether it's a quote, whether it's just pulling out the, a 5-second clip of this, whether it's doing some video. Oh wait, Natalie's running in. I don't know what that means. See, look, she exists. All right, so once you take a piece like this, you could literally get 5, 10 little snippets, and you can just spin them. That's what my bride does. Into a TikTok post, into Twitter, into an Instagram reel, into a podcast. You can make it a Facebook post. You can write an email. Okay, so yeah, if you just take that like 5 pieces of content, put on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, podcast, Facebook, emails, you can. So Natalie actually is the one that, since she just got here, she's the one that does this for us. She takes kind of the content I do on the podcast or even from our coaching calls. I give her some ideas of what I think might work. But she's the one that actually spins it onto all the deals. So why don't you give them like just a 2-minute overview of how that looks day to day, week to week?
Yeah, so I think one day a week we kind of go through and curate just a lot of really good ideas and content that we think would be interesting. And then we split it up between things that are going to be text and things that are going to be more video, and then kind of between both of us, because I'm sure you guys get sick of Mike's face.
Impossible.
Although, who would get sick of this? Definitely not me.
It's all I care about, baby.
And then once we do that, we just spend a little time recording it and kind of have like a whole catalog or kind of a database of all of these videos. And then I just have a little schedule that I set out, and I go, okay, every day I'm going to make 3 different posts, and some of them are text and some of them are video, and I ask questions. And we've learned, and Mike, you can go into depth more about this if you want to, or if this is kind of a rabbit trail, but interactions are really key. So it's not just posting the perfect video with the perfect image and the perfect text. It's really getting people to engage with you and ask questions and respond to them that are going to get your content out there more often. So asking good questions, or even like going against the grain to like get that conversation going.
Yeah. So let me speak to that. And we're going to move on away from kind of content. And by the way, for those of us at the event, we're going to create content and post it right there at the event, like the ballers that we are. So if you want me to help do this with you, awesome. Let Lindsay know, or Brianna. All right. So just a little bit of the math. If you do five pieces of content out of one thing, right? You take five little snippets and you put it over those six sources I said: TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, podcast, Facebook, email. That's like 30 pieces a week or 1500 a month. You don't even have to do half that, and you're going to blow away when it comes to search engine optimization, organic traffic, all of your content. We have a global market that's semi-competitive. You guys are all local. I promise you, none of your local people are doing anything close to this. And what Natalie was saying is what people want, social media wants is engagement, right? All they sell is eyeballs, right? They're like, we know Natalie, when she's on Facebook, is going to say 17 minutes and 24 seconds. And we know we've got a billion Natalie, so we've got this many minutes of eyeballs. And that's what they're selling. So when you engage, if people are like, you're a jerk, Alicia, I hate your company, and you just ignore it or delete it, fine. What they really want is engagement. So if someone says, you suck, you know, a better thing might be to tag them back and go, tell me about why I suck. Because what's going to happen is those people are going to come back. So what Facebook wants, or social media wants, is eyeballs for longer. And when you tag people and have a conversation, it brings that person back to their to that platform, which is what they want. So they boost that. And if you do it in an ad, like the comments on the ads, it's a little more work, and you might have to pay someone to do it, but the engagement goes up, and Facebook's really excited because they're like, holy crap, you're paying me for these eyeballs, and then you're bringing more eyeballs back. Facebook's going to promote that ad over someone else. So there's a little bit of a hack. Sales, you know what? We're just going to skip sales. The short version is, once you get it, we're going to role play and do everything at the event, but hold your frame of who you are, know your worth. Don't go in trying to sell stuff. Just go in with the goal to get crystal clear on what their pain is, and help them solve it. And if you're the best solution, fight like hell for them and solve it for them. If you're not the best solution, be honest and try and help them anyway else. If you just ask questions, listen, get their pain, try and help, that'll be the quickie on that. All right, let's finish with getting employees, right? A lot of you guys struggle with that. Remember the core values-based hiring ad? Huge, 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 huge. A lot of you guys have the same boring ad as everybody else. You get the same crappy results. So big thing is you wanna move from a non-core values-based, lots of work hiring funnel to an automated hiring funnel that's core values-based, right? So as opposed to you calling and, or even an employee calling and setting up one-on-one interviews and doing a bunch of legwork with a lot of the wrong people. So you want to make sure that we do a core values-based hiring ad. Make sure you start with the headline, calling it the number one thing that you can get. Or the number one thing you want from them, right? A lot of people talk about great place to work, or, you know, or looking for hard workers. But if hard work is one of your core values, you want to start there. So whatever your headline is, should be one of your core values or the big thing that you're looking for. Hire for attitude, train for skill, right? No offense, guys. We're not splitting the atom. We can teach anyone to clean, but we cannot teach anyone that doesn't share your core values, just doesn't share them. So hire for attitude, train for skill. It should be almost all core values based, 80% core values, core values, core values, maybe 20% on pay or any of that nonsense. Keep in mind, we want as many people to come as possible because we're going to have a automated funnel, right? A group interview. So once you automate your systems to get people to the group interview, you're just going to show up. So you don't care if a bunch of unqualified people get there, kind of have the gates open, just speak to their core values and then automate that thing. So you're not, again, doing the calling or the texting or whatever and having to beg and cajole people to get there. I think that's probably good for the hiring. And when it comes to the interview, same thing. Especially in a group interview, the first interview, our tendency is to talk a lot about us because we're owners and we're passionate, which is great. But what you want to do is listen a lot about them. And we're not going to ask a bunch of boring questions like, I can't even think of one. You know, just open-ended core values based. So if mine was to, you know, help out, I would be like, how are you helping out in your personal life? Tell me a time. Why is it important to help out? Yes. Why? Show me, give me an example of that in your personal life. Give me that in your last job. If an employee, your partner didn't show up, how would you respond to that? Like, give a lot of questions where they can kind of answer open-ended. And ideally, once you've done a couple of these, you'll make a key that anyone can do it. So you'll kind of have the questions that they ask and kind of red light, green light. Here's what we're looking for. Here's what we're not. So any core values match person can do that. So again, group interviews, the big thing with these is the big secret shame when they don't work is when you stop doing them, right? That's the thing. People get all hired up and feel like they're good to go and they turn them off and then they get bit when they need somebody. So the group interviews need to happen all the time. Make sure you're listening, not talking. Tough one for me, as you guys might get. And then we go to the one-on-one interviews. And again, the interview flow is almost exactly the same as the group. We're just going to go from 90% core values and 10% kind of logistics to maybe 70% core values and 30% logistics of here's when you show up and here's when we get paid and here's how we do that. And then of course we do the working interview. Best way to know if someone's a good fit is to work with them for a couple of weeks. Once they've been working with you for a couple of weeks, it's almost impossible to know. Or not to know. Anything I'm missing on that you want to add, Natalie, before we move on?
No, I think you pretty much covered it really well.
If Natalie says I covered it well, we covered it well, baby.
Two thumbs up.
That's the first one I've got of those. Okay, next and last piece is zero to trainer in 30 days. We got to get off this. And some of you guys kind of go back to this. I just need an operations manager. If I just had an operations manager, everything would be great. But there's so many problems for that. An operations manager, especially if they're not systematized or core values matched, just moves the bottleneck from you to the next guy or gal. But she's going to get pregnant, quit, move, get another job, need to get fired, take a day off, get COVID, whatever happens, and then the bottleneck's right on you. So we need to have systems where there is no bottleneck, and you don't want to just move the bottleneck from me as the operations manager to some other operations manager. That's the first problem. The second problem is anytime we have a trainer or we give some special, like you're special, it's telling the other person, oh, don't worry about it. They're in charge of really making sure the quality is good. Every single cleaner I have has got to know it's their job to do a good job. And no one's going to check or whatever. If they're like, I need someone to check me because I suck at my job, the solution isn't to hire someone to check them. It's to fire that guy, right? Just pay the person that's going to check them. So we don't want different classes of cleaners. 100% of the cleaners in the field should believe down to their bones, this is my job and I give a crap, right? For me, it'd be help out. Like, I need to help out and be real. I told Mike and the client I was going to do a good job. I got to keep my word and to have fun and to make money. And all of those are violated if I'm like, I'll let the supervisor do this. So really important. We use the zero to trainer in 30 days. So the last thing I do to get on the team for realsies is to train the next guy. And again, the training process, just a reminder, they watch you, you watch them, you leave them and come back and check. Once you've done that, they've done a good job two or three times. You check someone else's work with them using a checklist and then they train somebody else. That's the last thing. Make sure when it comes to culture, we're just doing weekly meetings, monthly parties, quarterly reviews. That's all you need to do to keep a culture running. Weekly meetings, monthly parties, quarterly reviews. Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing, share it with a friend, share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.